Imagine a world where our deepest fulfillment comes not from pursuing our own happiness, but from caring for others. This isn't just an idealistic vision, it's what rigorous science increasingly reveals about human nature. Matthew Ricard, a molecular geneticist turned Buddhist monk, challenges our fundamental assumptions about selfishness and altruism. While philosophers like Hobbes and economists like Adam Smith portrayed humans as primarily self-interested, decades of research now paint a dramatically different picture. We are wired for connection and compassion from our earliest days. Toddlers spontaneously help strangers without prompting or rewards. Our bodies physically synchronize during moments of genuine connection, improving our cardiovascular, hormonal, and immune systems. When we witness others suffering, our brains activate as if we ourselves were in pain. This capacity for caring isn't a cultural invention, but a biological inheritance, one that holds the key to both personal happiness and solving our greatest global challenges. Have you ever noticed that the people most obsessed with their own happiness often seem the least happy? This counterintuitive pattern reveals what psychologists call the hedonic paradox. The more directly we pursue personal happiness, the more it eludes us. Research consistently shows that materialistic individuals, those focused on acquiring wealth, status, and possessions, report lower life satisfaction and experience more anxiety and depression than those with other priorities. Even achieving materialistic goals provides only fleeting satisfaction before we return to baseline or even decline in well-being. Yet, when we focus on creating happiness for others, our own joy improves as a natural side effect. Elizabeth Dunn's experiments demonstrate this beautifully. People who spend money on others report significantly greater happiness than those who spend on themselves, a pattern that holds true across 136 countries. Why? As ultra-social creatures whose survival depended on group cooperation, our brains evolved to reward behaviors that strengthen social bonds. Acts of generosity activate the same pleasure centers as receiving rewards ourselves. True altruism isn't self-sacrifice, but self-fulfillment, a profound alignment with our deeper nature. For centuries, we've justified our treatment of animals by claiming they lack human-like capacities. Yet research reveals remarkable empathy across species that challenges these assumptions. When chimpanzee Washo learned her caretaker had lost a baby, she signed "Cry" upon seeing the woman's sad face, then "Please person hug," offering comfort for grief. Another chimp, Cooney, found a stunned bird, carried it to the tallest tree, carefully unfolded its wings, and launched it toward freedom. Elephants protect vulnerable calves, return to bones of deceased relatives in mourning-like behavior, and comfort distressed herd members. Dolphins lift injured companions to the surface for breathing, sometimes continuing this effort for weeks. Even rats free trapped companions before accessing food and share treats with hungry neighbors. These behaviors suggest caring for others evolved because it enhanced survival in social species, fundamentally changing how we view both human nature and our relationship with other species. What if the greatest obstacle to altruism is our belief in a completely separate self? We construct an I that feels permanent and autonomous, building walls between me and others that exist only in our minds. This ego-centered perspective creates a fundamental distortion. We perceive our happiness as separate from others' well-being rather than interconnected. Yet when examined closely, this sense of self proves elusive. Our body is constantly exchanging molecules with the environment. Our thoughts incorporate ideas from countless others, and even our genes reflect ancient viral insertions. We exist as nodes in a vast network of interdependence, not as isolated units. Realizing this interconnectedness doesn't diminish us, but expands us. As boundaries between self and other become more fluid, harming others feels like harming ourselves, while helping others feels like helping ourselves. Neurological research confirms this. Experienced meditators generating compassion show decreased activity in self-referential brain regions and increased activity in areas linked to social cognition. By loosening the grip of self-preoccupation, they paradoxically experience more fulfillment. Can compassion be deliberately developed, or are we simply born with certain tendencies? For centuries, contemplative traditions have claimed that qualities like altruism can be cultivated through mental training. Now, neuroscience confirms this possibility through what researchers call neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to reorganize itself through experience and practice. Richard Davidson's research demonstrates that compassion meditation produces measurable changes in brain function and structure. When experienced practitioners generate feelings of altruistic love during brain scans, they show dramatically increased activity in regions associated with positive emotions and maternal care. Even short-term training creates significant changes. Participants who practiced compassion meditation for just 7 weeks showed increased altruistic behavior in laboratory tests and daily life. Their brains processed emotional stimuli differently, with greater activation in regions associated with empathy and positive emotion. The basic technique involves first generating feelings of warmth and kindness toward loved ones, then gradually extending those same feelings toward acquaintances, strangers, difficult people, and eventually all beings. With practice, this perspective becomes increasingly natural and spontaneous, not just a nice idea, but an embodied reality. Our economic systems shape how we relate to each other and our planet. Conventional economics has been built on a flawed model, Homo economicus, the purely self-interested, rational actor who maximizes personal gain. This model misrepresents human behavior and promotes selfishness by treating it as normal. The consequences include financial crises, environmental destruction, and extreme inequality. Alternative approaches are emerging. Behavioral economists have shown that humans often make decisions based on fairness, reciprocity, and concern for others. Eleanor Ostrom won the Nobel Prize for demonstrating how communities successfully manage shared resources through cooperation. These insights inspire practical innovations, like Spain's Mondragon Corporation, where 85,000 worker owners operate democratic cooperatives with equitable pay scales. Muhammad Yunus's social business concept represents another direction. Companies designed to solve social problems while remaining financially self-sustaining. Even conventional businesses are evolving through movements like B Corporations, which certify companies meeting rigorous social and environmental standards. Cultivating altruism doesn't mean becoming a doormat or neglecting self-care. Rather, it recognizes that our well-being is inseparable from others. We flourish together or not at all. This understanding requires courage to face others' suffering, act despite uncertainty, and persist through slow change. Matthew Ricard's journey from scientist to monk to humanitarian demonstrates how serving others brings deep fulfillment, a finding consistently supported by research. Those who help others report greater life satisfaction than those focused primarily on personal achievement. As we confront global challenges like climate change and inequality, this altruistic vision offers hope for creating a world where all can flourish. By expanding our circle of concern beyond family and friends to embrace humanity and our living systems, we often receive our greatest gifts, not as calculated reward, but as the natural consequence of living in alignment with our deepest nature.